Hebrews chapter 11, I want to speak about having a heart of pilgrimage. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of a place that he had received, that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And then from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, the calling of Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, we say amen to that because that is the truth. That's what's happened to us, isn't it? So Abraham went, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I want to speak about having a heart of pilgrimage. A mark of a hero is a life of faith. We are called to be heroes. And it's a life of faith that marks us out. It's not how you start, it's how you finish that counts. It's how we finish the race. Everyone can start easily, but it's how we finish that counts. Heroes of the faith does not end in Hebrews chapter 11. The chapters are still being written in the book of Acts today. What chapter are you? Are we 6,953,000, whatever it is? Chapter. What chapter are you? Because each one of us is a chapter, the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit. Not the book of Acts of the apostles, it's the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit. And that book is still being written through every single one of us. We have a chapter in God. We are called to be heroes. Every single one of us, no matter what our age is, I see a lot of young people here. And I must say, I've been so impressed with the maturity of the young people of the Gateway. You're doing a great job. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't back off. Your chapter is being written, but what verse are you on? Are you on verse 1? That's the day of salvation. Or have you not started yet? You've not been born again. Then can I encourage you, be born again right now, right where you are. Repent of your sins and take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Don't hang about. It's not a religious workings. It's a total change. You know, you must be born again. I was born again in my bedroom committing suicide. I met Jesus Christ in my bedroom in Preston, in the nurse's home, 40-odd years ago. As I was trying to take the tablets and the note was written, Jesus came into my life and I was born again. Thank God I was, because had I not been, I'd be in hell eternally. Hell is for real and it's eternal. Church, we need heroes today. Because hell is for real, and so is heaven. Our destiny is heaven, not in hell. Our place is in heaven, not in hell. People are starting today to say that there's no hell. It was just something to worry us or frighten. No, there is a literal place. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no lie in Jesus. So if Jesus' teachings that the disciples wrote for us in the Gospels is truth, Jesus spoke probably more about hell than heaven. He said it was everlasting. He said it was the flames, everlasting. I'm not trying to dangle you over flames this morning, but we need an urgency, folks. True. We are fighting for life eternal. This life that we're living is nothing. It's not a blip on the radar against eternity. If you live for 1,000 years, it's nothing. What mark is 1,000 against forever? It's nothing. It's not 0.0001%. It's nothing. This life that we're living in, this solid thing is nothing. It's passing away. We are called to eternal things. That is the real and the everlasting. Never lose sight of it, folks. Because the lie of the world today is to say these things don't exist. It's true because I know Jesus. I met him in my bedroom. No, nobody preached to me. No Bible. Well, I had a New Testament, but I found Jesus as I read my New Testament. I know Jesus is real. You can tell me all you like that it's not true. It's a figment of my imagination, as this spirit of this world wants to tell us. The spirit of Antichrist that is so prevalent in the world, and especially in Great Britain today. It's one of the leaders in it. Church, now is the time to rise up, amen, not to shrink back. We need heroes that will change. We need people who will rise up in this day. Lord, how will I finish this? Oh, I don't even know what time it is. Oh, there we go. I hope you're watching my time. You're so nice. But these poor people's bottoms will not suffer. I'll lose their concentration soon. And some look like I've already lost them. Finish the race well. Church, don't get sidetracked into side issues, the problems of the past. But keep yourself running in the race. The race is our race of faith. Stay on the course. Keep your focus on the Lord. Grow your faith. Seek the elders and ask them, how do I grow my faith? I dare you. Go up to them and say, Tony, how do I grow my faith? Yeah. No, ask your elders. Yeah, because that will spur them and it will spur you into action. Well done with Malachi. Faith was applied. God, the language of heaven is faith. When we speak anything other than that, we're speaking a foreign language to God. God's language is faith. You know, speak faith. Faith is that thing that requires us to step out. Everything of our life is faith. You know, when years ago, I was having this debate with the Lord, or a dream or something. I can't remember now because it was nearly 40 years ago. But he showed me a picture where I was stood. May I stand on this chair? Is that okay? Yeah. I asked permission because this is not my property and it might break. And the Lord took me to this cliff in this picture that I had, and he said to me, step out. And I said, you put your hand there. And he said, no, Tom, you step out. I said, I'll step out when you put your hand there. He said, I'll put my hand there when you step out. I said, no, put your hand there, Lord, and I'll step out. And that's what our faith is. But God's faith is, step out, and his hand will be there when you need it. And you must take that step of faith. And the floor was there. His hand will be there, but it takes us to step out. That's what faith is. We want faith. Well, show me the hand and I'll step out. Give me the money in the bank and I'll do it. Faith is believing. Even though we're not seeing, we're believing, knowing that it will be there for us. We are called to be heroes. The language of a hero is the language of faith. Anyway, seek the elders and they'll teach you how. Do you receive your prophecies? Read, record them. Write them down and reiterate them. The language of faith is receiving prophecies. That means our brothers and sisters prophesying over us in our life. If you need a word, go and ask the elders. You can trust them. They may not have the word, but they maybe know someone who will get a word for you. It's a life of faith. Don't be afraid to prophesy over each other. And when you receive your prophecies, if you believe it, you'll record it. God makes the promises, but it's up to us to keep them. You hear that? God makes the promises, but it's up to us to keep them. Because as we remind God, we're believing in faith that he will do it. And as we remind him, it starts coming forward. It may not happen when we expected it. The seasons are different. Don't get impatient. Our race is the race of the marathon. We're in for the long haul. The walk of a Christian, A hero of the faith, it's long haul. Do you know what the long haul is? You should do, you Scousers. You know, I mean, you circumnavigated the globe. You know, you're one of the greatest ever naval cities in the world. Liverpool, Liverpool. You went everywhere. You know, everywhere has been touched by you. But you know, I've not heard many Liverpudlian accents over recent years in other nations. I was asking Sandra how many can you remember, and we can only remember one in 30 years. It's time the Scousers got going again. Into the nations. Ooh, that sounds like a statement of faith there. The long haul was from the eastern seaboard of America, and they would sail their sail ships all the way down through the Cape, the Southern Cape. What's the Cape? Is it Cape Horn? Cape Horn, the most dangerous seas in the world. Through Cape Horn, and then up the other, South America, right up the top to the western seaboard of America. That was the short haul. So they'd gone through that, defied death, because a lot drowned in those southern oceans. And the long haul was to go back again. After doing it once, not many wanted to do it again. We're called to the long haul. Life is tough, saints. But God is tougher. Amen. It will take everything of us, but God has everything. He is the one that takes us through. We're called for the long haul. Abraham was called. He was 75 years old. He received the promise. So he was 75 years old. He received the promise. He did not receive the child until he was 100. 25 years later, God said, through your seed, 25 years later, and you know the scripture, he was as good as dead. You know, and it was 1 year after he was circumcised and came into covenant with God. 1 year after he was circumcised, maybe the circumcision had something to do with it. Maybe it frightened something into action. I don't know. Sorry about that. It's just a thought that came to me. But he had a son 1 year later. But 25 years, how long have you waited for a promise? 25 years. And then after he'd received his son, 14 years later, was it 14? I better just check my dates. Possibly, he was 114 when he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. So his son was 14 years of age when he took him to the mountain and to sacrifice him on the altar. And God provided a ram. But his faith was such that he knew that God would have raised his son from the dead if necessary. You see, that is the faith that we're called to. How do you do, church, when things go a bit tough for you? Let me remind you of a little scenario. You know, Jesus and the disciples are in the boat and they're crossing the lake and the seas are really rough. Jesus is asleep in the boat. How rude. He's asleep. The hardened sailors, fishermen who are with him, are fearful of death. And they wake him up and say, "Do you not care? We're going to drown and die here." And Jesus is quite angry with them. He's not angry because they woke him up. He's angry because of their lack of faith. He was asleep. When things get troubled in your life, do you start falling apart? Do you start screaming and carrying on, as we say in Australia, like a pork chop? You know, when you're grilling pork chops, they're sizzling and spitting and carrying on. So it's carrying on like a pork chop. Do you carry on like a pork chop? You know, or do you just have faith in God that you will come through? Because the reality is, if the boat had sunk, Jesus would have still been breathing underwater because he was called to a mission. And that's the difference, folks. We have to be called of God. When we're called of God, we'll go through the tough times. When we're called of God, no price is enough. nothing daunts us in that. When things go tough, it's not a problem for us because we know we're called of God. It's like being called into this church. If you're called into this church, then when people leave or change or are promoted and go to heaven, it's not a problem for us because we know God has called us. When we first planted a church into Ballarat, things went very pear-shaped and tough for us. Incredibly tough. And I was ringing up the home base, as it were, Coastlands, and I was speaking to Rob Rufus. And Rob said to me, he said, "Tom, don't die out there. Come back to Coastlands," which was a large church in Adelaide that we went from to take over this church. He said, "Don't die out there. Come back to Adelaide." And that's all I ever wanted to be. I only ever wanted to be a pastor in Coastlands. So what he was saying to me was what I always wanted. I never wanted to be a church leader. I just wanted to love people and help them and just shepherd them. And so what he was saying was really what I wanted. But in me welled up this scream that said no. But out of my mouth, I said, "Well, thank you, Rob. I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you. But no, we're staying here because God has called us." Because when God's called you, things go tough. It's okay. You know that God will come through because he has not called you to destruction. He didn't call you that it's going to be all a bed of roses. That would be a very poor theology. But he said his grace is sufficient for you. And we must learn to live with grace. Paul had something wrong, a thorn in the flesh, that God had given him to buffet him. So God had given him this thorn, and we don't know what the thorn was. There's a debate whether it was sickness, whether it was a demon, whether it was a person. It's really immaterial what it was. What does matter is that the purpose of that thorn in his side was to keep him humble because of the exceeding greatness of the revelation that he'd been given. You see, folks, when God calls us, and sometimes we can get a bit big for our shoes, and when we get a bit big for our shoes, it's all about me, mine, and my own. But we must always come back to the place where it's all about him, his, and his kingdom. It's not about us. You know, as Mike Hanchett says, you know, turn to the person next to you and say, "It's not about you." Just turn and tell them, "It's not about you." Now say, "It's not about me. It's about Jesus." So, in the life of calling, keep Jesus paramount. And it's not always easy. What marks a man of faith? Number one, being in covenant. You must be in covenant with God. That's a binding agreement. We're not in some sort of you waffle into church and you waffle out of church. We are called into covenant with God. He's not only our Savior, he's our Lord. And Lord demands obedience. We must be obedient to the King of Kings. Or otherwise, he's not the King and he's not Lord of our lives. We're called to obedience, church. But we have a covenant. It's being in obedience. Faith without works is dead, James 2. We're a people of faith and action. We talk the talk and walk the walk. That requires that we believe the one who called us. Many today talk the talk of the Christian, but they don't walk the walk of the Christian. You know, you're a Christian. Do you know what Christian means? It means little Christ. That's what Christian means, being a little Christ. Wow. You're a tough audience. Well, that's exciting. You know, it's being just like Jesus. That means that Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So we're able to, when people come up and say, "Show me Jesus," you say, "Are you sick, Tom? Look at me, follow my life. He that sees me sees Jesus." Hello. That's what Jesus said. He said, he that sees me sees the Father. You know, well, we're little Christ. And so we should have the total image of what Jesus is, how he did things. That's what marks us and separates us from the world. You know, not talking in strange voices. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Otherwise, I grew up as a Pentecostal. You have to excuse me. I love poking fun at myself. If I'm actually poking fun at you, I'm sorry. I'm not poking fun at anybody in particular. I just want to challenge our religious thinking. You know, and when Dudley Daniels came to Adelaide and in my Pentecostalism, because I came from a church, North Road Pentecostal Church in Preston, where Smith Wigglesworth led the Easter Convention every year. I wasn't there for one of those, just by the way. I'm not that old. But not so far off, but some of those guys were. And so I grew up in a way that when you prophesied, you had to prophesy in Elizabethan English, very loud. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I was doing that. Oh, you felt the anointing, didn't you? You know, and that's how we spoke until Dudley came. That's how we prophesied. That's how I prayed. And I thought it had to be loud, but I was doing it in the way of man because Jesus never did that. Jesus was just the same as everybody around him. It was just being naturally supernatural. You know, we just have to be natural in those things. You know, we don't need to... Anyway, I'll get distracted. You're distracting me. Stop it. Having a listening heart is very important. Faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So firstly, why do we not step out into the call of God? Well, two things: fear of failure and fear of the future. Fear of failure and fear of the future. Our life can be like a video player where we replay all of the bad things that happen. You know, you lie on your bed and you remember, oh, how could you let that happen? Why didn't you? Oh, you know, and we replay these events over and over and over. And then what we do, we pre-play them into the future. And we've got to forget that. We've got to forget what's behind. You know, Rob Rufus, he started walking in faith. And Rob used to go down to the marketplace praying for people. And people in wheelchairs, you know. And he grabbed one guy by the hand. Just give me your hand, Dad. He grabbed a guy by the hand. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Shh, boom. Oh. But it didn't stop him. You've got to keep going. Don't just stop with that. You know, keep applying your faith out there and believing in God. I'm not saying go around Liverpool pulling people out of wheelchairs. They'll arrest you. It's much better you hear God say, yeah? But don't be afraid to step out. Erase the negative things of your life. Erase the failures, because we get as many goes as we want. The past is gone and we enter into the new day, as we were saying right at the beginning. See, we're in a marathon race. And I don't know about you, but I'm a brilliant marathon runner. I am. Has anybody run a marathon? Oh, wow, you wimps. You wimps. We have a super marathon in Australia. We run from Melbourne to Sydney. It's about 1,000 kilometres. And an old potato farmer won it one year, and he was over 65. And he used to train in his wellies. I kid you not. He ran 1,000 kilometres. I can go into that marathon, no problem. And I bet every one of us here can run a marathon. Well, we can start the marathon. And that's like our Christian life, isn't it? We all start well. You know, we're on the line, ready to go. Yeah, I ran in the marathon. You know, I'll probably get to about the door and collapse. You know, And that some of us might not reach that far. Some of us might go a few kilometers. One or two of us might reach the whole marathon. But we're called to a marathon of life that is the race that is set before us, not somebody else's race, but your own race. And as we run that race, we continue in Christ. We may get tired. We may fall down now and again, but rise up and continue in the race that Jesus has called you to. Because what we want to hear the words of our Savior that says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into my perfect rest." That's what I want to hear from my master. I'm not doing this for that. I'm doing this because I love him and he has called me. We don't pray. We don't read the Bible. We don't fast. We don't do it tough for Jesus because we're after brownie points with him. We do it because we love him. He saved me over 40 years ago, committing suicide. I said to him that day, "Lord, give me..." Well, I wouldn't have said Lord then because I didn't know how to pray. I was still praying the Hail Marys at that time because I was a Roman Catholic. That's how I was brought up, you know. In nomine Patris et Filio Spiritus Sancto Deo. I was an altar boy. But I said, "Lord, give me a wife," because that was consuming my life at that time. "Give me a wife and I'll serve you all the days of my life." And he did. And we've served him all the days of our life. I trust and hope, please, all the glory to God. I trust and hope I've got another 20, 30 years. I'm 65. We've just retired. It's more like being retreaded. We've just been retreaded where I thought I was going in my garage to make furniture, which I love doing. I'm on the road living out of suitcases. But time is passing quickly and we need people of faith to rise up, Liverpool, Gateway. Every single one of you, don't think, "Oh, well, this is for Billy or Betty or Jimmy or Sally." It's for me. Lord, I answer the call. You see the call. How are we doing? 3 to 12. I've only got 21 minutes on my watch. Okay. I'll try and skip through these things. The call is in three parts. If this is a bit of a mismatch for you, I am sorry. This is actually a 2.5 hour sermon. So, you know, I don't get to give it often. Well, I do, but people have left. Okay, the call is in three parts. Settle it in your heart. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you.'" Firstly, it's from your country. That's the community in which you live. It's a place of security. It's the known factor. It's predictable. You're Scousers. You know exactly what's happening in Scouse land, don't you? You know how people the government's going to work. You know how the tax system works. You know where you're going to get your food from. You go to a foreign land and they don't even speak your language. You're very unsure of what's going to happen. But that's the life of faith. I'm not saying you're all going to leave Liverpool now. Don't look so worried. Okay, settle down there. But I'm saying there's something in our heart that says, "Lord, I will serve you all the days of my life. And even while I'm here in this land, where at the land of my birth..." Yeah, oh, it feels like a song's coming on, doesn't it? I can river cross the Mersey. Yeah. And from the land of your birth, that it's still my country and my nation is heaven. My nation is the kingdom of Christ. You know, that's where I'm living today, here. But my heart is in that country. That's what I'm looking for. Secondly, it was from his kindred. That's his family. It's a place of support and acceptance and encouragement. I don't know about you. I used to hate going to school because I wanted to stay with my mum. I loved my mum. And I hated walking out and going to school. I was such a wimp. Really was. I mean, I was 16, for goodness sake. Crying, no, mum, I don't want to go to work. Get out. It's a place of support and acceptance because we're comfortable with our family, aren't we? Our family is that place of support. It's a nice place. Mum had cooked the roast beef and the Yorkshire puddings, you know, and they'd be, oh, she's in heaven now. But that's where I want to be. But there's a time where we've got to come and recognize that the Lord will be our support and our encouragement. When and if it all turns against you, will you stand under the strain? Only a clear understanding that we are called will achieve that. And I've been through those things. When I, my dad was a hindrance to my call. He couldn't understand it. My dad got saved later. But he could not understand that I would go and take my family, leave a home that we just built, leave a good employment, my children were in good education, and that I'd leave the family and go to Ballarat, which is about 1,000 km away, into Victoria, a different state. And he just could not understand it, you know. And the fifth commandment is a commandment that's with promise. So you honor your parents, no matter what. I had to honor my father, and I wanted to honor the father, but I must obey the call of God. And so I went to him and I just said, Dad, would you help me? You know, because he was giving me a bit of a hard time. And, with the family and just anyway. But so I went to my dad and I said, Dad, would you help me? You know, because Jesus has called me to take my family and go and take this church over in Ballarat. I know you don't understand me, but I don't want to choose between you, Dad, and Jesus. I will serve Jesus, but I want you to come along. Would you help me to lead the church? And he stopped from that moment on, running me down, literally. He stopped from that moment on and he always asked me to the day of his death, how's the church, son? How many people you got now, lad? How many's with you? Oh, good. Praise God. You know, it just changed him. But we've got to honor. When the call comes, we've got to be willing to leave those things behind. Honor your parents. Use it as an excuse to leave if things are a bit tough. And don't run roughshod over your parents. Honor your parents because it's the fifth commandment. And Jesus said that heaven and earth would pass away before the least little dot would leave from the commandments or the prophets. And I don't think heaven and earth has run away yet. Has it? Did something happen last night while I was sleeping? No? The rapture's not happened. Thank goodness for that. Yes. So, it's honouring. Keep the commandments. But it must be settled in our heart, or we keep running back, always to the Father's house. To the family. The Father's house is a place of inheritance. Sorry, that was the family. And the Father's house is a place of inheritance. It's possessing the past, the work of the generations before us. You know, so some of you may have parents that have great properties and great inheritances, great businesses. And if you were to go to another nation, maybe you'd lose those things. But it's got to be settled in our heart. We are not working for an inheritance of the past generation. We are working to the kingly inheritance. That moth cannot take, rust cannot devour. And the things, because family inheritance causes such problems anyway in the world and such division in families. So I've told my kids straight up, don't worry about it, you won't get anything. We're going to spend it. As my dad did, I will. No. Okay, there you go. Settle it. It all belongs to the Lord. We're looking to a city whose builder and maker is God. Our inheritance is from above. It is eternal. These fleeting moments of pleasure are not worthy to stake your claim to. Though they will try to keep and have you, keep your focus on the King of Kings and on the everlasting kingdom. We are called to an everlasting kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 said, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer shell is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." God is giving us a call, and the promises come from God. Just a few points. Hindrances. What hinders us in the call? The hindrances. I'm having my wonderful machine is giving me a hard time. Don't be naughty. Do as you're told. Gee. Hindrances to the call. Ah, I get it. Come on now. Give me 2 seconds. It must be... I told you in the office today. I said, gee, this is a hindrance to the call. Electronics. Should have gone to the pen and paper. Should have been like Nigel. Yes, he's gone to one of these, so he's doing exactly the same. It's just not allowing me to bring it up. Right, okay. But don't worry, there's plan B. It's all right, Sandra, we'll be all right, love. I know Sandra's having kittens right now. So there's always more ways to skin a cat, isn't there? Okay, hindrances to the call. Ooh, didn't think it was that big. Let's go into the promises come from the Lord. Make sure that you know his promises. Write down your prophecies. The strength comes from the Lord. He says, and I will be with you. I will bless you. The promises ensure a success through his enabling. If God calls, he equips us. Did you hear that? If God has called you, he equips you. You can't expect to go through tough times without his calling. And you have been called, first of all, as his sons and daughters in his kingdom. So every day of your life, he will provide for you. Don't be dissuaded through the circumstances. Abraham did not deny the reality, but he chose to believe God who spoke to him. Hebrews 11:10, for he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. It's the heart of pilgrimage that we're called to, and it's contained in the 11th chapters of the book, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Abraham never saw the fulfillment of the promises because it exceeds generations. And we're living for the next generation. Pass on to the next generation, that they will pass on to the next generation if the Lord tarries. So in conclusion, folks, see the big picture. Gateway, you've gone through tough times. Forget the tough times, because God has got new days for you. He's got bigger and better days for you. May the past only be a foundation, but the building is going. As someone said, more floors than Lewis's, was it? You know, God wants to put more floors, not floors, problems, but floors into our structure and make this place an amazing place. I mean, this is an amazing church, folks. You know, look at it. You're nearly full. You better get some more chairs, man. You got more chairs. You need more chairs than those chairs. You know, this place, I'm serious. God has more for you. But if you stay in the past, you won't enter into the future. You're fortunate that you have a couple here in leadership who have come from another nation, who have already heard the call of God, responded to the call of God, and left it all behind. Left it all behind to come here for Liverpool, for Gateway Church. It's all for the King and the Kingdom. See the big picture, run the race, and clear all encumbrances that would stop and hinder you. Some of the things that hinder us from the call of God, our finances, obviously our past, our families, our social background. When I came in, I was only educated to 15, but I trained, I studied, and God equipped me. Because God will equip you for the call and enable you to do it. Here we are now, 40 years later of leading churches. We've planted two churches, which I never expected, never thought, never wanted. But God called us to do it and has brought success. If he can do it through a Wally like this, what on earth can he do through you people? I'm serious about that because he has called you. In fact, you guys have a call on your life that is far greater than what you think it is. He has called you to success. I speak that over you now. Success in Jesus' name. Prepare yourselves because you won't have time later to do it. Prepare yourselves now. Get close in with the elders and keep them close by you.